This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on October 9, 2014. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Okay, we will move on to agenda item number 5 now. Draft Advisory Opinion 2014-12.
This motion?
2014-12.
No, this is mine.
With submitters from the Democratic National Committee and the Republican National Committee.
Oh.
I'd like to invite Mr. Bauer and Mr. Phillippe and Ms. Stowe to come to the table in case there are any questions of the requesters. Jessica, are you doing this? Okay. And we have Mr. Noti and Jessica Selenkoff from our Office of General Counsel, who've done a good bit of work on this one, too. It's been busy in Mr. Noti's shop. And I want to welcome Mr. Bauer on behalf of the Democratic National Committee, Mr. Phillippe. Ashley, you gonna stay and watch?
we have extras here, I suppose. We can.
And I'm sorry.
It's Graham Wilson.
Mr. Wilson.
Also on, right, but
you can.
However,
bring
you'd
up
like
a
to proceed.
Chair.
We don't need Mr. Phillippe and I don't need full fortification, but a little assistance is always appreciated.
Ms. Stowe, always nice to see you back in the building. Okay, Ms. Selenkoff, do you have a presentation for the commission?
Thank you, Chair Goodman. Good morning, commissioners. Agenda documents 14-50-A and 14-50-B present two draft advisory opinions in response to a request by the Democratic National Committee and the Republican National Committee. The DNC and RNC are national party committees that, until recently, were entitled to receive public funds to defray expenses incurred with respect to their presidential nominating conventions. Effective in April of this year, however, the Gabriella Miller Kids First Research Act terminated their entitlement to public funds. The DNC and RNC propose to raise funds under separate contribution limits into either a segregated account or a separate convention committee to finance expenses for their respective conventions. Draft A concludes that the DNC and RNC may not raise funds subject to an additional contribution limit, whether into a segregated account or into a separate convention committee, to pay these convention expenses. Draft B concludes that the DNC and RNC may establish convention committees to raise and spend federal funds for convention expenses under a separate contribution limit because the convention committees would be separate national party committees. The Commission received 4 comments on the drafts, including from the requesters. If the Commission approves a draft today, the Office of General Counsel asks for authority to make technical and conforming changes to the final document, and I'm available for any questions you may have.
Okay. Does any commissioner have any questions for Ms. Selenkoff or the requesters' representatives? Are we ready to go to motions?
And maybe could we make a statement?
As well? I'm sorry.
No
questions
question.
Or comments? Yes.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
No question. Okay. This request, it gave rise to a number of comments, and it was subject to a great deal of thought on my part. First and foremost, I think that the parties and their conventions are unique and very important parts of our participatory democracy. National conventions and the delegate selections, platform debates, and other things that are done at those conventions are a means, in my view, to encourage political participation, and that's important. That's what we need in our society, is to have more civic engagement and more participation in politics, and that's one of the sort of underlying factors for this commission and what we really stand for. since these proposed committees will raise money only for conventions, it makes sense to me to think of them as a separate part of the party's national organizations. In thinking about the AO request, though, I seriously and carefully considered the views of the commenters other than the requesters that were received by the commission. And I appreciate assistance that is given from those outside to help us in our deliberation. But in making my decision, I think it is important that the convention committees proposed by the requesters would continue to be subject to all the requirements of FECA, including disclosure requirements and contribution limits. And further, as stated in draft B, they're going to spend money exclusively on convention expenses, nothing else. And they will not advocate for candidates or support any other general party activities. So this AO in draft B presents, it's a unique and very constrained set of circumstances. It won't permit these committees to spin off into separate committees. Rather, because of the long history of political committees being a unique function of political parties, and because the public funding statute specifically treated them like the House and Senate committees as separate national committees, no other committees could really meet these requirements. So there should not be any proliferation of national committees, as was suggested by some of the commenters as a result of draft B. This is a narrow, limited, and cabined approach. And so given these constraints and limiting factors, I think for our political system, it's right to approve this request. And I will vote for draft B.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the constraints that the party committees are operating under, and that you guys feel kind of under the gun with, in competition with all these unlimited committees that are now out there. And as I'm sure you'll recall, I've been with you on some of these requests that you've made that to try and give you a little bit more breathing space, where I felt that there was a credible legal argument that we could use to get there. I'm having a hard time with this one. I mean, we asked our staff to come up with the best argument for a yes, and they did. But ultimately, I'm just not sure that I find it persuasive. In a blog post this morning, Mr. Bauer, you said that running the conventions is a core function of the parties. So if it's a core function of the DNC and the RNC to run these national conventions, how can it be the responsibility of a separate national party committee? If it's your core function, then don't you have to do it?
Thank you, Commissioner Weintraub. I actually was addressing a very specific contention in one of the comments, and that comment was that convention activity focuses exclusively on presidential and vice presidential candidacies. And my point is that that's not accurate. So from a national committee analysis, it is not correct to say that this is an organization that's solely interested in promoting the presidential and vice presidential nominees of the party. Then if you look at how the commission has looked at those issues over the years and the other factors they've taken into consideration in determining what is a national committee, it seems to me the multiplicity of functions within the convention context support a national committee determination, and the law is clear. The determination of what is a national committee is a commission determination based on those factors. So that was the specific circumstance, the specific issue I was addressing in the blog posting that you referred to.
I appreciate the attempts to make sure that this is not going to be the beginning of a proliferating series of committees. I mean, what we're talking about are the contribution limits, and obviously the members of Congress who voted for this research bill could have, I mean, it's not like they were unfamiliar with the conventions or with the notion that they would have to fund them some other way if they weren't going to get the public funds. They could have said, and we're going to give ourselves another contribution limit to pay for this, and they didn't. So I'm having a hard time with the argument that, well, you know, this is sort of an unforeseeable circumstance that you would find yourself in this bind. We can't rely on the argument that it's not an election, as we did in the recount AO, because under our regulations, the convention is indeed an election. I'm not finding the legal analysis into why, after all these years, we suddenly discovered that national convention committees are a separate national party committee. They've been around for a long time. Who knew? Nobody ever suggested that before. And that doesn't mean that it can't be right, because nobody ever thought of it before, because it's always good to have new ideas. But I just am not finding the legal rationale that's advanced in the draft compelling enough to do in this circumstance. I do think that we need to, here's another rulemaking project, we need to revise our convention regulations, obviously, in light of the Research Act. And I would be open to exploring this issue in a rulemaking context. I'm not there today. And I do think, by the way, that we are capable of doing a rulemaking on an expedited basis on an issue like this that perhaps does not present huge, controversial, you know, back and forth, rock'em sock'em issues. And as I said, you know, we used to do expedited rulemakings. Commissioners worked hard and staff worked hard, and we would turn out 6 or 8 of them a year, and I think that we could do it on an expedited basis, and that would be a better way of addressing this particular issue. But I'm not there on the AO today. To me, it seems that the no answer in draft A is the more compelling legal analysis. As much as I would like to support the party committees, I just don't think the legal analysis works for me. I will say I think we have time for me to go on a slight tangent. We do find ourselves more and more often doing in the AO context something that I think a lot of commissioners feel like maybe would be more appropriate to do in a rulemaking. And I think in light of that change in the way we do business around here, that we should consider a change in the way we hold these hearings. We adopted a rule, a procedure a number of years ago to allow the requesters to come and sit in front of us and answer questions, and sometimes it turns more into an oral argument. You're not arguing too much because you can see that you're winning, so you are wisely just listening. Often it does turn into more of an oral argument, and the concern has been raised by some other folks out there who comment on these things, that they feel disadvantaged because they don't get to come to the table and engage with the commissioners on some of these issues. So I had originally envisioned these kinds of back and forth as more an opportunity to get factual information, and for that it seemed like the requester would be the only person in a position to provide the facts. But I think given the way these have evolved, I am going to have my staff work on a proposal to amend our procedures so that we can have other people can request to sit at the table, or we might need more chairs, and weigh in on some of these advisory opinions. And I hope that there might be support for that change to our procedures. But and I think this would have been a good one to have been able to have that kind of back and forth from other folks who are concerned on this issue. But regrettably, I've been there for the party committees on a number of occasions in the past, and I hope to be in the future, but I'm just not there today.
Any other commissioner? Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I plan to support draft B as well for many of the same reasons that the vice chair articulated. This is a measured response to a specific request seeking guidance and clarity regarding how national political party conventions are going to be financed now that the entitlement to public funds has been terminated. As has been pointed out, the request delineates that the proposed use of the funds raised by the convention committees would be limited to expenses primarily for logistical considerations that relate to physical convention sites, security, administrative expenses, transportation, meetings related to party rules, platform development, etc. And the funds at issue, it's not soft money, is not creeping into the system. That these would be funds that would be subject to the limits of the act, as well as the source prohibitions and the reporting requirements. I think that in light of the fact that the commission is specifically authorized to determine what is a national committee, I think that the facts that are presented by this request, I think, you know, applying the test that that is the tests that have been articulated before by the commission about how we determine what is and what is not a national committee, I think that the convention committee does meet that test. I would just to address, I think, a question that was raised by Commissioner Weintraub asking why, you know, convention committees have been around a long time. Why haven't they ever been considered a national committee? I think I guess we're speculating, but I would render the guess that the reason why is because up until this point, they've been the recipients of public funds. This issue has never been teed up before, and therefore the question has never needed to be answered about whether or not convention committees might also be national committees that are themselves entitled to a separate contribution limit, but that entitlement has now been terminated. And so, for the first time, really, this question of whether or not a convention committee is also a national committee under the statute is ripe for our consideration. And when applying the factors that are part of our traditional analysis for under both the statute and the and under the regulations for determining national committee status, I support the draft that does find that they do qualify under both the statutory and regulatory tests, and for that reason, I am going to support draft B as well.
Any other commissioner? Commissioner Walter.
Well, the votes are in, so I mean, I understand that. I just want to add my concern about it's almost deja vu, only with a different issue, and that is whether or not, in the absence of statutory authorization, or in view of immediate, decision to repeal a statute, either by judicial fiat or otherwise, where does that leave us? Earlier today, because we've argued that in the absence of Citizens United, a hole was left that we should at least hear from the public on to determine what further steps we should take. Here, we're being confronted with a situation where the legislature has actually removed a source of funding for the conventions and has said nothing about either supplementing it or encouraging the commission to find a way to supplement it. The core of what we do is to follow and try and comply with the statutory provisions with respect to how money is spent, how much it can be spent, how it can be spent, but not really to create ways for it to be spent that aren't envisioned statutorily. And I'm concerned about that. I have been in the past, and again in the past I've supported the parties on this, and I know the commission has too, found ways to make it work better, but it's hard for me conceptually, and I really think the arguments in draft A are persuasive. I guess what concerns me too sometimes is talking about procedure, how we work on some of these more important matters. Sometimes we're confronted with some very good arguments, an oral argument, and I'd like to be able to walk away and think about it and maybe look and do some more research and then be in a position to make a decision. The way we're structured now, we aren't typically in that situation. We hear presentations, but typically we make a decision immediately after that without the ability to, you know, look a little further into some of these ways of seeing things. So I think that's a weakness on occasion on the way we make our own decisions.
Commissioner Hunter.
We don't need a specific legislative permission to consider whether a committee is a national committee. And we have the ability to do that under the regs. I don't think we need to do a regulation unless we think, I mean, I think what Commissioner Weintraub said, and I may have heard you wrong, is that you'd be willing to consider something like this in a rulemaking. But if you think it's not permissible under the statute, then a rulemaking wouldn't address that. So I'm not really sure where people are coming from, but I think we have it, you know, within our authority to determine whether a committee is a national committee, and for the reasons that the Vice Chair and Commissioner Peterson explained, I too will support Draft B.
Let me just ask Mr. Philippi and Mr. Bauer, do you have any reactions to the colloquy you've heard here?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I will be very brief in response to that question, in deference to Commissioner Weintraub's point that if we're winning, maybe it's not a good idea to talk too much. But I do want to express...
Hey, Mr. Bauer, it's your turn.
our appreciation for everyone's recognition of our plight. I do think is a very modest step in favor of the parties, and as we all know, are the most transparent and accountable and limited entities in our system. I would like to make one point, which may be a little bit nuanced, but maybe we'll give Commissioner Weintraub a little bit of reassurance, is that there is a distinction between the party and the party committees. And to say something that putting on the convention is a core function of the party, the convention is different than the committee. The party is much broader than what federal law defines as political committees. And in fact, but for the convention, the Republican National Committee would not exist. The convention is a bringing together of delegates who represent the entire spectrum of the party and come together and pass rules and a platform and actually create the Republican National Committee every 4 years. So I would urge you to recognize that they're not synonymous, and that by the party, in that context, it's very logical for there to be more than one national committee, and certainly we already have a congressional and a senatorial committee, and I think the logic there does support the idea that a national committee can exist for conventions as well. Regardless of which way you're going to vote on this, I do appreciate that the commission acknowledges the problem we're in. We're going to keep working on behalf of the parties with Congress and the commission, and to keep working to solve these sorts of problems. So thank you very much.
In fact, I have a question then. A convention is technically a separate legal entity with its own governance structure, right? I mean, it determines its own rules. It has a sponsoring organization, which would be the Republican National Committee or the Democratic National, but then it takes on a life of its own, and the party doesn't dictate what happens in that hall in terms of adopting the rules and all of those aspects, right?
There is
a rules committee, and there is an adoption of the rules. There is a credentials committee determining who gets in the room to vote on those matters. I mean, it technically is a separate legal entity, isn't it?
Correct. It is a separate entity. Correct.
Okay. Mr. Bauer?
Two very quick things. First of all, Commissioner Weintraub, you said I wasn't arguing because I thought I was winning. You asked me a specific question. I answered it. I'm happy to argue with you now.
I know you are.
You tell me that you're open-minded and the argument will lead you to the successful conclusion. We can be here all day.
We'll go out to lunch. We'll have a drink.
Whatever is required, yes. But I wanted to be clear. I'm more than happy to take on any particular points if you're interested in them. If not, we don't have to pursue it. But I do want to say one thing about the question of what Congress did or did not intend in voting to terminate public funding. If we're going to look for settled legal analysis, I really honestly don't think we can read into Congress's action on one issue a choice it made not to act on another issue. I've never heard that suggested, and I just don't think that's accurate. Congress could easily have made the decision, indeed did make the determination, to reallocate the funding from the convention to another medical research purpose. In so doing, there's no indication that it intended to express an opinion by implication that some other legal avenue for assisting the parties under the Federal Election Campaign Act was not available. I don't think that's a recognized construction of congressional intent. And the second point I would make then also is, therefore, it leaves things, I think Commissioner Hunter was making this point, where they are, which is that this commission has the capacity under the statute to construe what is a national committee. And there are multiple national committees. And in fact, just going back to the origins of the statute, there's a shared contribution limit, for example, between the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee and the Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee and their national committees, but they are considered, albeit within the party structure, committees that have otherwise separate legal existence and are dedicated to different functions within the party structure. So I just don't see that the commission doesn't have the ongoing regulatory authority by advisory opinion to construe, as it has in other cases, whether it's the Libertarian Party or the USA Taxpayer Party or whatever, to conclude that this convention activity is an activity that is broad enough in purpose that the committee conducting it is in fact a national committee. I don't think Congress's act in the Miller statute precludes the commission in any way from acting on existing authority in that respect.
I'm not saying that we're precluded by the Miller Act, and I hope you all appreciate the good work of our staff in coming up with this theory for you, that it's by creating a national party committee, by creating a separate national committee structure for the convention committees, that that would be the way that the commission could, under the statute and through an AO, grant you this, because that was not one that you suggested. I think our staff came up with that, and I'm not philosophically opposed to what is going to happen here today. I'm not hot under the collar about this. I would. I also share the concern that's been voiced about supporting the party committees. I just don't think the legal analysis works. I find the legal analysis in draft A more compelling than the legal analysis in draft B. So you're probably right, Mr. Bauer. Much as I would be delighted, and I'm sure it would be very entertaining to argue with you all day, at the end of the day, we probably wouldn't be anywhere different than where we are right now.
Well, let me just conclude. I think it's important. And I'm sorry, Commissioner Walther.
One thing I didn't get a chance to say, and I meant to, is can be said that I share your pain in the sense that I do think that Citizens United and the new sources of money have made it, I wouldn't say weakened the party system, but certainly made it more difficult for the party system to continue in a leadership capacity in the way it has. And I'm worried about that, and I would welcome the a legislative look at what can be done to prevent that. I mean, you see the big sources of money that are coming into on independent expenditures, 80% of it are negative. That alone, in addition to the amount and the way it's spent, but who is spending that money and saying negative things without really accountability in the same way that a party does, concerns me. And I'm supportive of ways to strengthen the party.
Well, I think it's important when both of our national parties come to us and say, we need recognition of some regulatory flexibility and right. I think you're hearing raging agreement here on the commission, no, in support of the parties in general. And this obviously is a nuanced issue, and there's a draft A and draft B, and reasonable minds can disagree. I happen to see a reasonable path forward for this to recognize this regulatory flexibility and right for the parties. And so for that reason, I will support draft B. Madam Vice Chair, do we have a... I'm sorry?
If we're going to go to motions, could I make a motion first?
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. I did know you were going to... Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I move that the Commission approve Agenda Document 14-50A, a response to advisory opinion request 2014-12.
Any further comments regarding the pending motion? Madam Secretary, you have the motion. Then we'll go to vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, say no.
No.
No. The motion fails by a vote of 2-4. Commissioners Weintraub and Walther voting aye. Commissioners Hunter, Peterson, Ravel, and Goodman voting no. Madam Vice Chair.
With respect to advisory opinion request 2014-12, Democratic National Committee and Republican National Committee, I move approval of agenda document number 14-50-B, which is draft B, and authorize OGC to make any necessary technical and conforming edits.
Any further comments regarding the pending motion? Hearing none, we'll go to vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. All opposed?
No.
Motion passes by a vote of 4-2. Commissioners Hunter, Peterson, Ravel, and Goodman voting yea. Commissioners Walther and Weintraub voting no. Gentlemen, Ashley, thank you for coming. Thank you.